This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
We're back! Yes, I know it took a couple of weeks. I meant to have a show a lot sooner, but things just didn't quite... I can explain why things did not work out for us, and we didn't have a show when we intended to have a show, but it's coming. And you know what? You're all probably going to see my show notes up on screen. Maybe I should stop sharing screen because Philip can see the show notes if he clicked on the right thing. So you can just look at us. So, but I will have my show notes up and everything. But yes, it is me. It is your Spider-Pan, Jeremy. We have a lot of fun things to go through. A lot of new trailers for fun things happening. And there we go. Stop sharing the screen so you can just see me now. Hi. But we've also got a couple of, you know, it seems most of what we've done this year is tributes to at least two or more performers or actors in a show. And so this show is going to be just like that. I mean, granted, we're kicking off our Christmas season, so we're going to have some fun. But this week we've lost Jason David Frank, and even just today, Bob McGrath. So we're going to tribute, spend some time talking about our memories of them, although I don't have a lot of Power Ranger memories. But also, you know what? Today being December the 5th as we record this show, you know what's special about today?
What's that?
Walt Disney's birthday. Happy birthday,
right.
Walt. So he would have been 124 years old.
Happy birthday, I believe.
No, wait.
Walt.
No, 121. Sorry, 121. I was putting my age in and not the real year. It's 22, So yeah, he'd be 121 years old today. Happy birthday, Walt. Hope to meet you in heaven. But yeah, so we've got a lot of fun things. There's a lot of, I did manage to spend a lot of my Thanksgiving break watching some movies, getting caught up on some television series. So we're going to talk about, which I forgot to put it on my show notes, but I did finish Andor, so we can finally talk about Andor. But let me pull up my notes again. And of course, as we always, like I just said, by the way, Lost Boy Philip is here yawning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yawn.
You keep that up, I'm going to call you Yanni. Oh, my. Lions and Tigers and Phil. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. But it is, we're kicking off the Christmas season, which we'll talk about some Christmas decorating here in just a couple of minutes because, you know, we got some fun stuff going on there. But I like to launch things off with what have you been watching? And I wanted to talk about some of the television or streaming things that I've watched.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching. Have you been watching the Santa Clauses with Tim Allen on Disney Plus?
I've been enjoying that.
I think I'm a little behind. I don't think I've saw last week's episode, but it's
I'm not
I've
used
been
to
enjoying
having
it.
A little behind. But besides
but yeah,
I've been enjoying that. So.
I have been enjoying it, and the one problem I've had with it that I didn't think made any sense is the elves are trying to give him a retirement party, and so what do they sing? Last Christmas, we gave you our hearts. The very next day, you gave it away. Isn't that a diss on Santa?
Well, I think they're just trying to say, first of all, anything they can do to sing one of those goofy songs. But, I think they're trying to say they love him, you know, and all that jazz.
Well, you could do a better song, because we love him. We love him.
But that's too
Christmas
old
movie.
For the now generation. You know? But I do love that elf. That elf is so sweet. I love that guy. What's his name again?
The one that's like, Santa, you're my best friend.
Yeah, he's so sweet.
I forgot the character's name, too.
I can't remember his name, but he's a real lovable
He's
elf.
Been a fun character. But they always every movie, they always have like some elf that's going to be like the favorite elf, but the kid always grows up, so they can't bring him back. Although there was some imagery, Bernard seems to be making an appearance. I don't know what their excuse is going to be that he's a full grown 30 something year old man now.
I have a feeling now. I don't know. So have you caught up on that? I don't want to ruin this.
No, I'm probably a week behind.
Okay,
the last episode I saw was at the end of it. They ended up in Chicago, and that their kickoff song.
Okay, I'll shut up also.
Yeah, but I am recommending the show. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
I love who they got playing. I can't remember the character's name. That they got kind of like a witch of the winter or whatever, you know, like in the forest and all that.
Oh yeah, the actress there that she was like witch of the woods. I think her name is Maya something.
Yeah, she's always been beautiful and fun and beautiful in a different sense. I don't mean like, you know, just like a, you know, Barbie doll or anything, but I just love her. She's so much fun.
Pretty Woman and was it News Radio or Just Shoot Me?
She was.
I think it's
Just
Shoot Me.
Just Shoot Me. She was great on Just Shoot Me. She was also a lot of fun on the first thing I'd ever seen her on, because I hadn't seen Pretty Woman when it first came out, but I loved her on Quigley Down Under.
I haven't seen that one.
Of course, it's
a Tom Selleck movie, so of course you've watched it.
Oh, not just that. What was his name again? The guy who did the music for Lonesome Dove. He's from Kansas City.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was great. Can't think of his name. Anyway, he has the same name as the author from Sherlock Holmes. Anyway,
Conan Doyle. Arthur?
No, Conan, not the author. Excuse me. It's someone else. Anyway, I'll think of it later on.
Randomly in the middle of the show, you're just going to blurt it out. I just know it.
But anyway,
that's the guy.
That's the one. No, but she was in that. And the same guy did the music for that, did it for Lonesome Dove and for Conan. And I'm telling you, but great.
Oh,
music,
okay.
Great
music. Yeah. But now I can't think of it either.
Yeah, me either. She did great in that film. She plays one who's kind of crazy because her husband had died and she lost her child and all. She's a great actress. She really is.
But it's nice to see. I'm hoping we're going to see more of her character. You know, like there's going to be some more story coming on. So, but I don't know.
I know she was in the last episode. She showed up again. Okay. And
I figured
I like how Santa's coat is kind of alive. Remind me of Doctor Strange's.
Yeah. It kind of was that way a little bit originally, I think, too. It had that little bit of magic to it when he put it on, you know.
I've enjoyed it so far, you know.
It's been
a lot of fun.
It's been good.
I've not been let down yet at all this year by all the stuff I've looked forward to. I've really enjoyed. There might be a few things in some of the things I look forward to, but as far as a whole, I've enjoyed them so far. And everything so far.
Second thing I got caught up on Disney Plus, there's a couple of different shows, but Andor, we finally got a finale for Andor. Oh, wow.
Yes.
And that was when it was a slow burn, but once we started building that tension and building the tension, then it exploded like a reactor and whoa.
Yeah. It was like a Yule log that it takes a long time. But
once you get there.
What you did, except it was a Yule log that at the end had firecracker in it.
it did. Woo! That got really good. And I'm looking forward to seeing it a little because I feel like we're just getting started with the adventures of Cassian Andor as a rebel spy. So I'm looking forward to another season.
I love the character because when it first started, I said, this doesn't seem like the same character that we knew, but it'd been a while since I've watched the movie. Yeah. But
he had to grow into
him
it.
And all the. Yeah, that's what I like was that we just didn't get – the writing was so well done. We just didn't get the same guy. We saw him as a jerk, really. I guess he shouldn't say jerk, but
he
a
was
guy
very
who, he just
– self-interested a little bit.
Yeah,
other than he wanted to find his sister, you know.
Well, and you can't really blame him that he didn't want to be pushed into this war he couldn't really do anything about. You think about it. People don't want to a lot of times get involved with battles so he can't win in our world.
Yeah,
but this is not a world in a planet on a planet or in a country. This is universal.
Yeah,
what
galactic.
Can you do?
At least
you can't do. Yeah, this there's nothing you can do. You're up a creek. And I loved how basically he was forced into it. So like, okay, heck with it. I've got no choice anyway.
But by the end, he got to. I don't think it's like. It seems like in the beginning, everybody knows, the Empire's, I don't really like this Empire, but there's nothing I can really do about it. But by the end, he'd seen just how nasty the Empire was for his time when he was arrested for nothing, no good reason, sent to a prison where he was meant to work until he died.
He got to see how
nasty the Empire really was, and so he was like, no, I've got to fight this. I love that.
Yeah, because they try to make it in some of the films like, it's just a different way than what other people want. No, it was their way or our death way. And And I love that in that prison scene. I hope I'm not ruining it for anyone, but
yeah. We want to be careful, but yeah.
Yeah. But in the prison, at first people are like, well, we're just going to work our way and keep the peace or whatever. And then finally, like,
we'll just hear our sentence. Yeah.
And that the whole thing was it was all a facade.
The cake is a lie.
That's the best way to say it. Yeah. It was the facade. It was, you do what we say and you can go your way. Nope. That was all of a menagerie.
Mirage.
You're not going to get anything.
Mirage, menagerie is a completely different thing.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
That's a collection of animals. But a mirage. It was an illusion.
Yeah.
It was a lie. From the pit of the dark side.
That's right. It was a. What's the word? The scene I'm thinking of right now. It's people.
Some of the greenest people.
That's right. Some of the greenest people.
How to Serve Man. It's a cookbook. It's a cookbook.
You know that's supposed to be this year, right? Soil and Green.
A remake? Oh, no. The year it takes place.
Yeah. It's supposed to be this year. Oh, wow.
Well, 2022 was supposed to be a really good year for some other stuff. I was like that.
Yes.
I can't remember what they were supposed to be. Oh, well, heck, this is the year that I think George Jetson was supposed to have been born, too. And my car still ain't flying. Elon, buddy. Come on, man. Where's that flying car?
You, buddy. Come on. Help us
Make
out.
Make that flying car.
I want an Orbity. Or at least Astro.
Yeah. A talking dog.
I want a talking dog. I rover roars.
Rory.
Yeah, Rory.
Rory. So, yes, that's at least a recommendation and something I can't talk about too much because, yes, this movie does have an R rating. But I did finally, and I realized I've seen all of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but I hadn't seen it all at one time. And also I saw the regular cut and not the TV cleaned up version, which I can see how it got an R rating, but due to two scenes.
Yeah.
The cab ride, because there is some, it's a picture on the wall, but it's some nudity. And then the scene when Steve Martin's character finally gets into the airport and every other word is an F-bomb.
That's a great scene, though. That's a great scene, not because of that, but it's a great scene because I think, and I'm not talking about the thing with the scenes, although you really don't see it unless you're really looking in that, but you can if you have a big screen TV. I never could up until the last year.
Yeah, you get big enough and you're like, oh, hey, there's some naked people on the cab.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But it makes the cab just really that much creepier. But, yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on an R-rated movie, though.
No. And then
in that scene. If you're growing up, I do recommend watching it, by the way.
Yeah. When he loses it in the airport, I think we've all been in that moment where we've lost it.
And as we say in church, we got in the flesh.
We got in the flesh, yes. We've all said,
"You're blanking
right
airline."
Stinking now. Yeah. Right stinking now. Right. We've all been right stinking now, right?
Well, you have your rental agreement? No. Yes. Well, then you're blanked.
Yeah. You're up a creek.
You're up a creek, yes. So I finally got a chance to watch some stuff that you've been recommending to me to watch as I watch some TV. But you know what? I also got around to this. I'm going to funnel right into what I've been playing because this was also part of my Thanksgiving break. So the Friday before I launched my Thanksgiving break.
Yes.
I have been looking for a long time because I've been, I've been not so good at saving up my what I call my fun money. Every time I get paid, which I get paid usually about twice a month, I get $50 put into a separate account for me. My wife gets the same thing. She gets a 50. And I've been meaning to save up for a PS5 for over a year now that I've worked at the company. Yes. But I keep spending it on, for those of you on Patreon, you get to see video. And here's like the 40th anniversary nice Masterverse He-Man figure. It's a wonderful, beautiful figure. I love it. But I keep buying He-Man figures and all kinds of other toys. And I'm not really saving anything. But I thought if I force my hand and where I have to make a payment, then I do have to pay that 50 in. So I realized I had enough room on my Nebraska Furniture Mart to purchase one, but Nebraska Furniture Mart never had just a console with a disc drive that I wanted a disc so I could put my PS4 games and all that other stuff on it with one controller is all I needed. They never had it, but then I went there to look I figured, well, we're getting close to Black Friday. You'd think they'd have something in stock. Maybe I'll just look. And I realized they had the God of War Ragnarok edition, which I wasn't that interested in God of War Ragnarok, but I'm going to probably wind up playing it now because I went and got it. And now I have to make sure every month I got to make my credit card payment on my Nebraska Furniture Mart card. But I finally have a PS5, spent a weekend getting all of my PS4 stuff in there, getting an extra drive attached to hold PS4 games so I can put PS5 games on there, getting any free upgrades to my PS4 games to get the PS5 editions. And now, what the funny part of it is, I was so proud of myself for having beaten the Spider-Man and gotten a platinum on that Spider-Man PS4 game. That now that I got the PS5 remastered edition, because I did go ahead and I bought the Miles Morales, so I have a disc copy, so I could get the free full upgrade and own an upgrade. They came up with two extra trophies for me that I have to earn to re-get my platinum. So, oh darn, I get to play Spider-Man again.
Oh, sorry. I was being ornery, but that is funny.
It's like even what Heather said when I was telling this to Heather. She's like, oh, darn, you mean you have to play a Spider-Man game? Yeah, I know. Poor me. But the funny thing is, I bought digitally, because of Black Friday sale, the Lego Star Wars Skywalker saga. And I haven't played it yet because I've been waiting to play it with you, buddy, because you got to play this
with
me.
I heard it was really good. I do want to play it.
Yes. We're going to have a ball, and we're going to stream it.
Seth, I don't know what his Neverland name would be, except for maybe Captain Seth, a pirate.
He's the Sethro.
Sethro,
he's
yeah,
the Captain Sethro. Sethro. That's always been his nickname. That's him.
He's definitely a pirate type. But that being said, he's been playing it and he loves it. Yeah. He said it's, to him, one of the most fun, and this is saying a lot for a Lego game, but according to him, he said he didn't expect it to be all that great because he said he likes Lego games, but he says it's the best Lego game he's played, and he said it's one of his favorite Star Wars games. Now, coming from him, he loves the Star Wars games.
Yes, there's a lot of good ones.
He talked me into now, folks, I don't buy a whole lot of games. Mm-hmm. I buy a few here and there, mostly the wrestling games. He talked me into buying a whole bunch of games that were on sale on Black Fridays and such, a whole bunch, including the Force, what was it called?
Jedi Fallen Order. I believe you picked
that one
up, didn't you? Yeah.
That's it. I did.
With your numbness, though, in your left hand, you're going to have a struggle with that one because that is a very challenging game. But it's very cool.
That's right. The numbness in my left hand comes from brain issues, from surgeries and stuff, and seizures and all. It's okay, though. I'm going to try my best.
Yeah.
I'm going to try. I've also got some Grand Theft Auto. Which I'm not into all that. I'm a pastor, you know. But I enjoy, I'll be honest, when I'm stressed out, it's kind of fun to go
just
riding
go and
around.
Beat people up.
Yeah, beat people up. And better do that than in real life. And I've also got the, what is the Disney one I got again?
Dreamscapes. Yep.
Dreamscape. That's
which I'm
fun.
Waiting
That's
for January
fun.
When it's going to be free.
Yeah. I
won't get all
sale,
the add-ons, but I can play it. So.
And let's see, there's another one that's dealing with roller coaster something.
I think I have it on Steam. Roller Coaster Tycoon, or not Tycoon. I think I know which one you're.
My brother-in-law talked me into that because he's been enjoying that, and that's been fun so far. I'm not good at it at all, but it's fun. And then I got a couple others because my nephews who are nuts about Call of Duty, so I've got some of that. And
did you get the new one?
Because it wasn't on sale, but I'm nuts about treating my nephews to having fun. So every time they come over, they play it, and they've had fun. Also, like I said, I'm not really a gamer much, but I enjoy playing it with them, and so I let them shoot me with it. And then the other one I got. Quite a few others, but I got all the Batman because it was really cheap. Yeah. We're talking $7 for all of those.
If you have the full PlayStation Plus expanded account, you could actually play the Batman games for free.
Yeah, I probably could have.
Yeah.
But the fact to be told is, there's something about when I started him up, hearing that voice, now knowing that he's gone.
Yeah, with Kevin Conroy, which we did last episode. Yeah.
I love that guy. You know that. Yeah. I just love him.
Actually, because he passed away, I played through Arkham Asylum, and I just started up Arkham City today. I still haven't gotten around to playing actual PS5 games here. I'm still playing PS4 stuff. No, yeah. I did go through.
There's nothing wrong with
that. I wanted to see what Resident Evil 2, the remake of that, looked like on PS5, so I did go through that. But I really haven't done a lot with the PS5 editions of things. I did play some more of the Stanley Parable, but just because, oh, look, all the trophies are not unlocked anymore, so I got to go unlocking some things and unlock all the
Ain't
new endings and stuff.
A shame.
So.
Da-ding.
I'm getting a chance to just kind of replay a few things, although I got a lot of PS4 games I never got around to, and a lot of them I did get a free upgrade to PS5. And I did, finally, for the Final Fantasy VII remake, where they made the intermission thing for what they call the intergrade, whatever, but the intermission storyline where it's Yuffie, which I've never been a fan of Yuffie, because in the original Final Fantasy VII, when you meet her, she eventually steals all your materia and runs away, and you got to go chase her
down.
So
Yuffie is a character?
Yes, Yuffie is a character. Okay. She is a ninja from Wutai, and they came up with an entire storyline that goes on during some of the events during the Final Fantasy VII remake, and so you play through those events. So I finally got a chance to play that and see a special secret ending. I do plan on putting some of that footage on there. I did not get all of my game footage of the entire thing. I don't really want to spoil anything on that one. But I plan on putting some of that up on YouTube. I think I've got some of it, but I haven't put it all up on our Neverland official gaming channel, YouTube channel. That's also where Philip and I eventually are going to try to live stream playing Skywalker Saga Lego game.
I almost fell for it in another game. I almost fell for it because, you know, I'm a fan of the original Conan movie, Conan the Barbarian. Yeah.
Oh, and you're one of that multiplayer online, Conan Exiles.
I almost fell for it. Now, our friend Seth, our Captain Sethro, he luckily told me, he goes, oh, whoa, whoa. He goes, I know what you're after. He goes, you're going to think, you're thinking of Schwarzenegger and the music that you love so much. He goes, but that's not what you're going to get. Yeah. He goes, it's not it, man. He goes, it's not what you're going to be receiving. He goes, you don't even get to be Conan, he said. You're going to be one of the guys out there. And he goes, don't waste your money.
You're going to play in the world of Conan, which if that's what you want, then that's exactly what you get the game and that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So, and it's sort of like, the DC Universe game. You're not going to get to play a DC character, but you will get to interact with them.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, so. Which, that does remind me, the Christian Nerds Unite podcast, he got a chance to try a preliminary RPG that's a new Marvel game that's still, I think they're still testing it. It's not a video game, it's a tabletop RPG, but there's a character creation going on that. So if you're interested in that such a thing, go listen. Christian Nerds Unite, he did a playthrough for a few episodes. He had to step away for his wife's health for a while, but he's coming back, and I think at some point he's going to try to play and try to do the character creation and see how that works as well.
Yeah.
But they're still testing it. He's got a friend of his that's developing with I can't remember if he said what company it was that they're developing this new Marvel game, but it's coming. And
I just remember the name of the guy.
Basil Polidorus, isn't it?
It's Basil Poudoris.
Yes.
Basil Poudoris.
It came to me, too. Came to me, my own.
Basil Poudoris, and he's the one who did the music to Conan and Lonesome Dove. And
all this stuff. And he's from Kansas City.
Yes, he's awesome. He's born from Kansas City, Missouri.
Nice.
He went to school with a lot of great dudes, including the director Conan, who's also they went to school with Steven Spielberg and all those other guys down there, Lucas and all of them. Yeah, great stuff.
Well, I'm going to keep things rolling. I got a few other things I want to bring up. I've got to share some funny stories, and then some bad stories.
Yes.
And I've got in my notes it just says cat antics throughout the course. Of going around and coming up to Thanksgiving. At one point, and those of you that follow me on Facebook, you might, I don't know. I've already shared this, but I was up here working because I work from home on a couple of days of the week. I hear something go clunk, and I was in the restroom, so I was like, well, I can't really do anything about it, but I better go see what happened and see if the cats are hurt or something. Well, I go down there. One of the cats had gotten on top of our kitchen table, knocked down some pumpkin snickerdoodle cookies, and it popped open when it hit the ground, and they had been licking and chewing on them and everything and just eating these cookies and ruined them. And so I was like, okay, one of these cats has figured out how to get up on top of the table and likes to knock stuff down. But I don't know exactly which one, but I have my suspicions because it didn't happen until we got this kitten.
I was going to say, it sounds like the kitten to me.
Then just this past week, and I didn't see it when I came home from work because it was still dark, but she had figured out because we had some leaves in the table to expand it for Thanksgiving. And it gave it just enough to where if she got on the table, she could jump on top of the refrigerator where we keep the cat treats. And she knocked that container down and busted open. And they ate like half the container. And then they went to bed without their supper because they weren't hungry. They filled themselves up with that. And you're not supposed to eat that much treats. I mean, that's not nutrition. That's fat. Although it's greeny, so it's supposed to clean their teeth, too. But these cats, and so we were trying to make arrangements, and I had to, we had to swap some chairs around to try to get where the chairs are not, because I had two chairs that had, those armrests, so it sits away from the table, and that gives where the cats could jump up in the chair and then have an easy access to the table, despite me trying to have rules that, no, you're not allowed on the table. If we don't sit on it, you don't sit on it. Very simple rule, but cats don't always understand.
I was going to say, can they speak English yet?
Well, cats can learn a few words, and they'll learn what that word means. I mean, they're kind of like a dog where they get that certain word or certain phrase. They understand certain phrases, and they'll get that into a memory, and they know that has meaning for them. They'll learn it. So, that hasn't worked because now we've seen – because, and I swear it's got to have been the kitten who seems like, oh, well, I can get up on the table. Now one of the older cats feels like, well, if she's on the table, then I can get on the table.
Well,
she's jumped from the floor to the table. So, you know, we don't need no chair to climb up here. We can jump from the floor to up on the table. So I have bad kitties. And I told the kitten, you're about 5 minutes away from going to a shelter. Although my wife would not be happy. Although my wife is the one that blames me for bringing home the kitten. It's like, well, we didn't need that third cat. That's you that brought it home because you had to save it from the dog at your friend's house. But now she's very attached to them, so she would be very upset with me if I took that one to a shelter because, like, we don't need a third kitty. But I can't help it. I love my kitties. They're just pains in the neck. So there's my funny stuff for the week, but also the bad things of the weekend. This is why we didn't have a show last weekend and why we're a little behind. I took a shower one Saturday morning, went downstairs to do some laundry, and had water flooding up into our laundry room basement. Our main sewer line coming out of the house is broken, thanks to this tree in the yard. Those of you that are of the praying persuasion, I appreciate your prayers because I'm learning some trust issues because we have not tithed. For those of you in the non-Christian persuasion, I'm going to be speaking foreign languages to you, but I had not been tithing for months, and I've been wrestling with it because it seemed like we just couldn't afford to do it. And I felt like God was dealing with me on it, and then this happened. We have a major struggle. Insurance was going to cover $10,000, but there was the cost overall is like $1,500, probably more, or not $1,500, but $15,000, maybe more. We don't know until it's done. But I did manage to get a new loan from my credit union and get rid of an old loan and stack the loans together and all this stuff. So it's going to manage to be paid for, but we need to pray that I'm able to make this payment of the new loan and that the cost of this does not go over the cost of what we have now set aside from the insurance company and this loan. But I've already had at the beginning of the month a one bill that I was not able to pay. And boy, part of my brain says if you hadn't tithed, you could have paid that bill. But I'm trying to be faithful. This is a trust exercise for me. I'm having to learn to trust stronger than I ever did before and trust that God's got this. But because I was dealing with some stuff, I was really in no mood to present a fun show. So we've waited a week, so we might be a little behind on a few trailers, but that's why. But I wanted to let y'all know. But you know what made me feel better? And I think I already told you this, Philip.
What's that, brother?
It's December. It's Christmas month. And we had a wonderful time. There's some more comedy. This is going to be, you're all going to have some fun with me at this. I do not like heights, but we went and we decorated the church on Saturday and, you know, playing, I dug through where my Christmas music was. And I mean, I got a Frank Sinatra CD and Bing Crosby and Burl Ives and Elvis. I got some good Christmas music and we put it on like a spinner in the church and we're just playing the Christmas music and putting up a tree. But Philip's mother had me go and climb up to the rafters of the church and wind garland around it. And then when I was done with that, she said, can you climb up onto the roof of this here thing and hang our giant wreath up in our big upper window? And I was terrified. Terrified.
I didn't tell anyone you're doing this. That wasn't me. I've kept it to myself.
I do not do well with heights. I'm scared of ladders. I don't like being up on ladders. And the transition from being up on a ladder to get up onto the roof is scary because there's that I have to change where my center of gravity and my balance is. And so I was kind of crawling and my inner Spider-Man was going, but Philip was staying with me. He says, don't worry, man. I'm not going to let you fall. You know, Philip was out there with me and I got the wreath up, but it was scary to get from the roof back onto the ladder as well. So, ooh.
What was humorous to me though, and I can say this to y'all, it was humorous to me. I was like, so we have this Spider-Man / Peter Pan, Spider-Pan here. He's scared of the heights. And I was like, I'm not going to make fun of him for this because it happens. But I thought, this is funny to me in a sense. I didn't laugh, but I was like, this is funny looking to me because if the people were there with me on the show, I could say it now, seeing how you opened up.
Yeah.
I was thinking, there's some giggling going on because we got Spider-Pan here. I'm scared he's going to fall.
I wish my pixie dust was real and not fantasy, though.
You remember the Hook, the movie Hook?
Not being in the slingshot wouldn't make me very happy.
Happy, that's right.
Exactly. But, you know, this is if you're having a rough time, it's been a rough year. It's been a rough few years. It's Christmas time.
That's right.
Do some decorating, listen to some music.
Mm-hmm.
And even I had to post to Facebook. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get people gifts. Although I did find we've got room on a credit card, and I'm going to try to get some little things for people. Because I feel bad if I can't. I want to be able to give people things.
I understand
that. That's part of the fun of Christmas.
It is, but remember that gifts aren't what it's about.
I know. But
it's the spirit. I know it makes you feel good.
I want to do stuff.
And that's great. But whether you do or not, everybody loves you for you. And I'm not just talking to you, Jeremy. I'm talking to everybody.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people just can't afford it. And people love you for you. And when people do give you gifts, or whether they don't, people love you for you.
Yeah.
And Christmas is about Christ, and he was the greatest gift. And rather, if you're not a Christian out there and all, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and we love you. Even if we don't know you, we love you because we agape love you. That means love you with the power and the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah. But it's time to get to some news. So
yes.
I'm going to hit this button. No, not that one. Not that one either.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, the most important piece of news that I need to tell y'all. Oops, I shouldn't have clicked that link. That is my RSS feed. I am in the process of changing my podcast host. I've been with Libsyn for nearly... Well, guess what? This is the beginning of our 10th season.
Yes.
So I've been with them for like 9 years nearly. I mean, I didn't start out with Libsyn, but Paul of the Window to the Magic helped me get on Libsyn back then because I needed more bandwidth because I had, you know, I've started getting listeners. So I needed to be able to expand on that. But I've got another guy, James Kennison, which he's been on the show before of That Story Show, has pointed me towards Red Circle because I've noticed, you know, I tell everybody that, hey, if I'm going to have ads in the show, if you don't want to hear the ads, then become a Patreon supporter and you can get your own RSS feed where you will not have any ads. Plus, you'll get to see video occasionally of us doing the show with special guests. Right now, I'm recording video of us recording this episode, which will be up on Patreon. So you'd like a video version. There's fun reasons to come and be a Patreon supporter, and it does help me pay and cover the cost of the show. But he told me about Red Circle, and Red Circle actually has a cheaper plan that I can be on that's cost less than what I was paying at Libsyn, and I can put ads back in that they'll supply ads. Hopefully I have a little bit of choice on that because That Story Show, I heard an ad on his show and it was in Spanish. And I'm like, I can't understand it. I don't know what they're trying to sell me, but I will be putting some ads into this show. And if you do not want to hear those ads, come become a Patreon supporter, and that way you're still helping me out. But otherwise, listen to the ads and appreciate the fact that I have ads, and the ads will help me to fund and pay for the show. So I'll give you that there. But please, within the next few weeks, or during this month, the Libsyn feed will go away. Hopefully everything's switching you already over to this Red Circle feed, but you may have to go and search the feed down again and make sure you're using an RSS feed for that says Red Circle. I am going to be updating the website, neverlandpodcast.com, to have an RSS feed sending you the feed from Red Circle. I will get that updated pretty quickly. The ads will begin in January because that's when I'm going to pay for my first month. Right now, I'm on there for free. And that's not fair. I would do that for the transition because I've already paid Libsyn for the month and I don't have to pay twice. But this is going to save me some money going over there and plus also bring some income in to help pay for the show by having some ads in the show. So, very, very important. Make sure by the end of the month you are still subscribed. You may have to search for us again, but I will provide the RSS feed on the website by the end of the month, okay? But it's very, very important. I let you know that. Something else is very, very important. I got to let you know. So if you happen to be near the Kansas City area or you just like to travel for conventions and whatnot, March 17th through the 19th, 2023, at Planet Comic Con Kansas City, William Shatner will be here.
Yes.
And when I was looking at the website, because I'm making some plans to have a couple of panels there, we're going to do some Disney panels, some vintage Disney panels about Walt himself. So I'm planning on that. I'm confirming with Kay Mellons from Marceline at the museum up there if she wants to come down and help me with one. And also,
oh, Marceline.
Giancarlo Esposito, who I mainly know for being in the Mandalorian series. He was a villain in the first season. I don't remember that he survived far into the second season. If you even survived the first season, but he is such a great actor. But he will be there on Saturday and Sunday. We've also got Roy Thomas, some writers on already coming in here, and Amanda Connor, Rachel Lee Cook, Chris freaking Claremont, buddy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have any Chris Claremont X-Men comics, but I wish I had some. Rachel Lee Cook, of course, you'll know from She's All That, Josie and the Pussycats, and I guess she's done some voices on Final Fantasy. They might be talking about that first Final Fantasy animated movie. That they did the Forgot what it was.
I need
the
to look
Spirits
up all
Within.
The names, man.
Yeah, but Rachel Lee Cook, the photos she has, she's still beautiful. She's still all course, that. Yeah. So, but she's coming into town. I can't say I'm a huge fan of her, but that's pretty cool. I did see that she's all that. It's not a bad movie. It's pretty good. It was very much the 90s. That was our time. And it was, I think it was based off of Shakespeare. It was, I think, The Taming of the Shrew.
I think it is, yeah.
Slightly based off of that.
Yeah.
There's only one curse word in there, too. And it's understandable when she cusses. Because when she finds out what's really the story of what's happening to her, which I would say, but I don't
I'm
want to spoil it. But granted,
it's William Shatner.
Yes.
I love William Shatner.
William F. and Shatner.
Hey, you know what he did
and
for
I mean
me.
Friggin'. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what he did for me. When I went and he got his picture with me, in case y'all hadn't heard, I got to go meet him. I'd already had his autograph, mm-hmm. but I got my picture with him. I had just came out of an entire month in the hospital with 3 brain surgeries,
yeah.
Including removing a tumor, my fourth tumor. And when I went to see him, I had to go and I had just had the stitches removed from my head the day before. I went in there in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to do that, I could only be there for a short while. I was so weak.
Yeah.
But I went there in a wheelchair. Wearing
you were there long enough for us to do a panel. That's about it.
Yeah. And I could barely talk. Remember, I couldn't say much. I went in there and my friend wheeled me over there. They said they weren't doing pictures at this point in time. I brought the money to have them do it. And they wouldn't let me get my picture with him. So instead, they took me behind the curtain where he was at. He came out, had his picture with me, and he would not take my money. He said, no. He has picture taken with me, was kind. He would not receive my money. I thought that was the kindest thing. And what a nice guy. I don't care what other people say. That's my captain. I love the guy.
He is the Shatner.
Shatner. Man. I love that man.
I hope I get
He's
a chance
90.
To meet him. Yeah, I hope I get a chance to meet him while we're there.
Yes.
The line might be excruciating. And I'm usually fairly busy when I go to convention. I'm trying to cover a lot of stuff.
You know what he is always going to be for me? Still old. Friend.
Indeed. But so that's coming up. And those of you in the country, in the Kansas City area, keep an eye out. I do hope to have like 2 different panels I'm going to develop. So we'll see what happens. Also, all right. So the next thing, I put this as a news story more as a question. Bob Iger is back. Does it matter? So a lot of Disney fans were super excited. Oh, Bob Iger's back. He's going to fix everything. You realize Bob Iger was the beginning of everything going wrong at Disney. Okay.
Well,
Bob Chapek just continued what Bob Iger was doing.
What's his name again? Bob what?
Chapek.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it will matter. Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll
but
see.
It may not make things better. Either way, we'll I've been become very undisneyfied for what they've done. But I still love vintage Disney, and I'm still I'm all about Walt and some classic Mickey. So, but I just wanted to get at least say it out there. But here's the fun stuff. Okay, so. Granted, some of you are probably might be Xbox players.
Sorry.
But the official PlayStation blog here, I want to share. So every month when you have your PlayStation Plus, and I'm on the, I think I'm on the premium. I don't know, but I'm on the maximum. So I'm paying $17.99 a month. But I got to tell you, if you've never played these games, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which I believe is the entire trilogy, well, the PS4 edition will be available for you Tuesday, December 6th, until Monday, January 2nd. You can add it to your catalog.
What game is that?
Mass Effect, the Legendary Edition, the PS4 edition. And it is going to, I think it's the entire trilogy. Because all these games, I mean, this is a game that what you did in the first game, it would read, when the second game came out, it would read your save file for the first game and say, okay, here's where you left off with how your interactions with the other characters was. It would remember what you did. And this is probably one of the greatest science fiction trilogy games you're ever going to play. And it's going to be available if you have this premium membership. I think all memberships of PlayStation Plus, you're going to get a chance to have it. And I already own them for PS3, but when it came up for PS4, I was like, I kind of would almost want to get it again just because it's going to be a little bit higher style graphics. But hey, as long as I have my Plus membership, I will have access to this game as long as I go and I get it added to my library starting December the 6th, which for when we're recording it is tomorrow. And I had to let you all know it's available because if you have not played Mass Effect, you owe it to yourself to play Mass Effect. If you love Star Wars, if you love Star Trek,
yes,
you're going to love this. You're going to love this because you don't have the Force, but you have these like psionic powers that you get to use. And you're on like a big ship. You have a crew to interact with. It is fan-flippin-tastic, okay?
I want to try that.
You must, brother. You must. You would love this. I think Seth is the first person that even recommended it to me.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, back when it came out, I was like, oh, this Mass Effect, you got to get it. It's so good.
I remember him talking about it. Yeah. I remember him saying that if you being the Star Trek and Star Wars, he told me, I remember it now.
Oh, yeah.
He said you'd really like it. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow, buddy, go get it.
Yeah, I may have to try that. Because the thing is you all know, I've said, I have Brain Effects. That should be the name of a new game, Brain Effects.
Brain Effects.
But I have Brain Effects, so I have to be careful with games. That's why I don't play as many games as I would like to. I just can't. Plus, I'm busy, you know. But games are fun to escape sometimes. It's just fun.
Yep.
That's what I do with movies and stuff, too, really, is to get away from the world. But it would be fun to kind of be the captain for a while. That's why I collect a lot of things I collect. I have a collection. Jeremy, I don't know if you got to see it yet. With some of my Star Trek toys and things I have, I was able to collect. Someone makes 3D. What we call it is 3D.
It's like a 3D printed type of thing?
Yeah, they 3D printed. I already had the captain's chair from the action figure and all. So they 3D printed the front desk and all stuff.
Oh.
For his
panels and stuff.
Yeah, whatever. The panels for where Sulu and Chekhov
sat. Nice.
And they also got chairs for Scotty and Sulu. So what I did is I ordered a box set from where they had. I already had the figures for it. They got just a box thing for the old figures. And I took my old box set and I cut out the background part, put it all behind them for it. Yeah, so technically it's made for smaller figures. But the way I cut it all, it looks like it sits behind them just right. Yeah.
Nice.
You'll like it. It's like you're on the set. And I even took old what they call pom-poms. And with that one Kirk I have in the green, I have pom-poms all around where it looks like he's sitting with Tribbles.
I think you took a picture of it and showed it.
I feel like I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did.
But, yep, so that's all I have for some news, and I got to keep the show rolling. So it's time get into our inner redneck and go to the trailer park.
There you go.
Mama, now the gator got you in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
All righty. So first, Transformers Rise of the Beast. I didn't even know this was coming.
I'm not the one to fear, Prime. There is a darkness coming.
It was all a dream!
Pull over! I'm not driving!
And if you don't know, that is old.
Of all the threats from both your past and future, you've never faced anything like this. Let them come.
Coming June 8th, Let me read some description here for you. It says, returning to the action and spectacle that captured moviegoers around the world, Transformers Rise of the Beast will take audiences on a 90s globetrotting adventure with the Autobots and introduce a whole new breed of Transformer, the Maximals, to the existing battle on Earth between Autobots and Decepticons. Directed by Stephen Caple Jr. and starring Anthony Ramos and Dominic Fishback, the film arrives in cinemas June 8th, 2023. So this seems to follow more after the Bumblebee film.
Which I enjoyed that more than the others, honestly.
That was actually
Don't get
better.
Me wrong, I enjoyed the first one, but after that first movie, I didn't like. I'm talking about the one in what old, was it, 2007
very
or whatever?
First Transformers movie, which I think part of that was just, it was like, hey, cool, Transformers.
Yeah, but after that, it got, in my opinion, raunchy, and it did. It got away from the family fun, in my opinion.
And what I liked about Bumblebee is that we got to see the characters look like we remembered them from the 80s.
Yeah.
And they're continuing that. And we get to see even Jazz in his Porsche form.
Yes.
Now, Bumblebee has already turned into his Camaro form at this point. But it's kind of weird how they do these prequel things, because they seem to establish, like, the first time a lot of the Autobots had come to Earth was in that very first movie. And now there's like, well, forget about that. Let's just go in here because we really ruined those other ones. But did you ever watch the Transformers Beast Wars? I really didn't watch much of it.
I only watched a little. The only thing that I enjoyed about it, honestly, this is not to put it down, because if
there are a lot of people who loved
it,
so
And what I did enjoy about it was, I thought, now, in all reality, the computer effects at the time, you can't compare it to now.
Yeah.
It was
computer animation
new.
Was very new still.
We're talking 1995, 96. But at the same time, I mean, the only other show we had that was even close to that at the time was Reboot. And really looking at now, it's almost sad. But at the same time, that was all you had. And so that was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But I got to say, of the kind of show for it to do that, Transformers fit, because it is something that's supposed to be robotic and robotic stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I thought Toy Story was so good. I'm not talking about the animation itself, even. I'm talking about something that's robotic or a toy. Or something that's already.
Yeah. If it looks plasticky, then it fits.
or something robotic that's supposed to move kind of unreal. Something. Yeah. And people are like, oh, but they were supposed to be apes. No, they weren't. They were robots that were looking like that. And
they were supposed to move kind of weird. Yeah,
something almost unreal. Yeah. And it fit.
And I can't tell if that's the original voice for Optimus Primal or not.
I think it is.
I think it might be, but I can't be 100% sure.
If it's not, the guy really has it
down.
He
does a good voice for Optimus Primal.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I like it.
And, of course, we got the great Peter Cullen back. For Optimus Prime, because you can't do Optimus Prime without Peter Cullen.
Yeah.
No matter how many cartoons they're making now without him.
He's the man. Yeah, Peter, he is the man. He is the one.
Oh, yes. So I actually am kind of excited for that one.
Yeah, that one looks good. Yep. I really did enjoy the Bumblebee.
Yeah,
movie.
I liked Bumblebee.
I mean,
it was fun.
Even if
John Cena was in it.
Well, but, you know, John Cena did a good job because he was kind of a jerk, and he showed some of his acting chops in that. Yeah.
But I'm going to move on to the next one. Something else I'm pretty excited for. The Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, me too.
All right. That's a go.
Okay.
Not sure if you know who I am, but I'm about to rule the world.
Wow, yay.
But there's one problem. There's a human, has a mustache, just like you.
You think I know every human being with a mustache wearing an identical outfit with a hat with the letter of his first name on it? Because I don't.
Bowser is coming. Together, we are going to stop that monster.
How? Look at us. We're adorable.
Oh, I got this. No problem.
Yes! Come on, Mario! Our big adventure begins now!
Get it off!
There's a huge universe out there.
Whoa.
A
of a lot of galaxies. They're all counting on us.
Mario!
No pressure.
April from Illumination Entertainment. And what I love so much about that is, you know, bringing in like where Mario's trying to train and he's basically playing through stuff that looks like levels out of a Mario game, and then even throwing in a Mario Kart.
Yes. And the music and the sound effects. And mm-hmm. plus, I love Charlie Day's voice. It's so obnoxious and fun.
Charlie
Day. I love it. Did I say Charlie? I meant to say Charlie Day.
Who's Charlie Day?
Charlie Day. He's from. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and who's
he playing? Do you know?
He's Luigi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. That's why he's like some people have almost a cartoony voice anyway. He's the one that I'm always comparing to Sean because he's excited. You know, our buddy Sean. He's always getting this real excitable voice, and then suddenly kind of goes back down but that fits perfect.
Sounds a little like me. So
Luigi.
Yeah. What also I love about this is Chris Pratt. There's so many people that have doubted Chris Pratt and what he's going to do as Mario. But then at the end, as he's kind of hops his go-kart there, he has his little woohoo. Sounds just like perfect. The Mario we know in the 3D games. So I'm like, come on, y'all.
Perfect.
He's got it down. I'm super excited. I'm stoked. Bring it on.
Is this kind of you may not know. I don't know if they've shared with this. Is this somewhat of an origin story?
Yes, this is Mario and Luigi first coming into the Mushroom Kingdom, and they're even going to be hinting in on Luigi's Mansion from the look of things a little bit. They're going to bring everything know of the Mario games and bring it together.
I like it.
Something else I'm super excited for, though, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, can't wait.
We were gone for quite a while. But no matter what happens next, the galaxy still needs its guardians.
Hello, we come in peace.
Come on, Drax. Seriously, dude?
No! Ow!
Please don't copyright strike me.
Where we came from.
We have been running our whole lives.
Pete, I'm done running. We'll all fly away together. One last time. Into the forever. That beautiful sky. We are
kill anyone who gets in our way.
No, not kill anyone.
Kill a few people.
Kill no people.
Kill one guy, one stupid guy who no one loves.
Now you're just making it sad.
May 5th, 2023.
Can't wait.
The fun thing is, like, normally we have all these 70s or 80s classic rock songs, and now we've got a 90s rock song being used in there, which I hope to be, you know, I don't get a copyright strike for that song being kind of used fairly heavily in there. But, oh my goodness, We only got one look at Adam Warlock, and it's the actor who kind of not quite the Joker in the Gotham series. Also, he's in Jedi. Wow, the Star Wars game. We were just talking about that game.
That's not him. That was the young man who was on what was the name of that show? No, he used to be a dorky dude.
Okay. I think I can think the other actor. They look very similar, but yeah. They do. Okay, I think I know who you're talking about.
But the thing is, people are like, oh, he's a dork. He was on that movie where I hate to use this filthy reference, but he got bit by a spider in that movie or whatever it was, and he got swollen down there. And but what happened, and he ended up later on becoming buff when he played a Viking in this show. I watched it on Netflix. He's part of it. But he's a good actor.
Yeah. And he's Adam Warlock. We're finally getting that because yes, we were teased at the end of the last film.
I've been waiting for Adam Warlock for a long, long time. And I think he looks good as him myself.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
He looks pretty good.
But this
I'm
looks
looking forward to it.
Like we're going to get a little bit of origin of Rocket. And it looks like a very big emotional story. Still going to have the humor and the heart. I'm excited about this. And while we're mentioning this, I also got to give my recommendation to the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special that's on Disney Plus.
That was great.
That was fan-stinking-tastic.
And I love Kevin Bacon as himself.
Yes.
I thought he could have acted a little more like Kevin Bacon, but Kevin Bacon, he did a pretty good job behaving like himself. Yeah.
I almost believed he really was Kevin Bacon.
I don't know. I thought they could have got someone who could have acted a little more like him, but, you know, he tried.
Yeah.
No,
and I kind of want the soundtrack because they had a lot of fun music in that as well. Some original songs even.
And what I loved about it, too, I don't know how many of you have seen the Star Wars Holiday Special, whatever they called it. But I loved how they had a lot of references and salutes to that. That was awesome.
Bit of a nod, yep. But I really got to keep the show moving because we're almost an hour into it, and I got a lot to do, so we're moving on. I have one last trailer.
I miss the desert. I miss the sea. I miss waking up every morning, wondering what wonderful adventure the new day will bring to us.
Those days have come and gone.
Perhaps, perhaps not.
I don't believe in magic, but a few times in my life, I've seen things. Things I can't explain. And I've come to believe it's not so much what you believe, it's how hard you believe it.
One of the weakest in the end.
I'm her godfather. Get back.
June 30th, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
The Dial of Destiny.
Yeah, kind of a weak title. Now
I like the title. I'm used to it already. But
let me read this. But we're not done. Harrison Ford returns as the legendary hero archaeologist in the highly anticipated fifth installment of the iconic Indiana Jones franchise, which is directed by James Mangold, known as Ford versus Ferrari and the Logan. Starring with Ford are Phoebe Waller-Bridge from Fleabag, Antonio Banderas. Hey, I'm from Pain and Glory. Pain and Glory. Yes. What is that? John Rhys-Davies. We know John Rhys-Davies. Seanette Renee Wilson of Black Panther, Thomas Kretschmann from Das Boot, Toby Jones from Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I think a lot of other stuff too, Toby Jones.
Yes.
Boyd Holbrook also from Logan, Oliver Richters from Black Widow, Ethan Isidore from Mortel, and Mads Mikkelsen, Fantastic Beasts, The Secret of Dumbledore. Mads Mikkelsen, so much stuff, really. Directed by James Mangold, this film was produced by Kathleen Kennedy, there's your warning, Frank Marshall and Simon Emmanuel, with Steven Spielberg and George Lucas serving as executive producers, thank goodness. John Williams, who has scored each Indian Adventure since the original Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1981, is once again composing the score. So
yes, and he's 90 years old.
There is some good in there, but some insider information that's been coming out is this is time travel, and what's going to happen is the bad people are going to be time traveling, going back and messing things up. Indy will go back in time, and in the end, his younger self, which so far they're still working on the computer animation, putting the younger face, and so some of the shots are not quite there, but his younger self will die, wiping Indiana Jones out from history, where he will be replaced by the woman you see in here with a Disney Plus series that is in the plans right now. That is currently what we are fairly sure about from insider information.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But what
if they do it, they're going to have a lot of very angry Indiana Jones fans, and they're not going to watch this Disney Plus series.
I've heard that, but I've also heard that some of that is not true. I've heard that that's bull roar. From some people, they said that that's been a rumor that someone started.
Well,
that,
apparently a lot of these rumors are starting to get confirmed, but we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
They
said there's only going to be one Indiana Jones. So now that much we know.
Well, she won't be Indiana Jones, but she'll take over the franchise.
Yeah, I see.
And we're already seeing this James Bond. They've killed him off so they can replace him with a woman.
Well, they said that won't be happening either, as far as
unless they decide to back off. That was the plan.
Yeah. Anyway,
so just to be fair in warning you that could be what happens in this movie, but it still looks like it's going to. I love the scene at the end here with his whip, and he's like, get back with the whip, and then they all pull a gun on him because it's like that joke on him of what he did with the swordsman. I like that. That's funny.
The Dial of Destiny doesn't bother me because the original title that I heard, I don't remember what it was now, but it really sounded bad. So that's better. Dial of Destiny is better. And it also goes back to at least we know the dial, and I'm pretty sure that's the round thing we kept seeing. I know y'all can't see.
Yeah, you only really get a good shot of one little round little thing device that might be the dial thing. I don't know. But
so
yeah,
at least
people were already making jokes. The dial, does it go all the way up to 11?
Yeah, oh, hey.
I haven't seen
the
jokes already.
Goes to 11. Yeah, I hope the movie goes to 11.
It better. Well, and I don't trust Disney with the Lucasfilm franchise.
Well, hopefully this
they have burned us with three Star Wars sequels, burned with a recent series that I will not name. I'm not going to mention it, but we've been burned a lot. But at the same time, we have gotten stuff like Andor, but that's more of Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni's work of what The Mandalorian and some of the good stuff has been through Star Wars. But stuff that usually Kathleen Kennedy's got her name on has been ugh.
Not grand, yeah. However,
so there's a big potential they are going to completely screw this up.
It could. We'll see. I try to give everything a chance, and sometimes I'm disappointed, sometimes I'm not, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I
might not go opening
day.
I may wait to see some reviews to find out if they really have wrecked it.
I'm going because, the truth be told, I can't be more disappointed than I was with the last one. And that has Spielberg.
Oh, I could be.
Because
that one has its moments of fun. The only problem I really have with that one is Shia LaBeouf and the fact that it was aliens that didn't seem to fit with Indiana Jones. The rest of it really was still fun and enjoyable, I thought.
The effects were horrible, too. Monkeys.
They leaned too much on the computer instead of the practical effects that we loved from the original movies.
Lucas.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. One of Lucas's biggest problems, he doesn't listen to his own
words.
His own words.
Yeah. But you had a lot of great actors. I mean, John Hurt was in that last one.
There's a lot of good ones in this one, too.
A lot of good actors. We just had a list of some of them I'm not familiar with. But some
really great ones. And I can't remember his name, Jeremy. The guy who was on the Harry Potter movie as the teacher, and he was in the last Indiana Jones movie.
John Hurt.
Back again. John Hurt.
He's not a teacher in the Harry Potter movies. He's the Wandmaker. John Hurt. He was in the last movie.
Yeah. He was a teacher, though.
Nope.
In one of the movies, he was a teacher, and
not in the Harry Potter ones. Maybe some other movies, but he was also in Hellboy as Professor Broom. He's passed away, but he was in at least two Harry Potter films because he's the one. He was Ollivander.
Ollivander, okay,
yeah,
yeah, okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, that's right.
But we got to keep the show moving, so I'm going to move things right along by hitting this button.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
Okay, we got three movies, man, and some of this, I didn't get to watch one of them. I had meant to, but I just haven't gotten around to it. I kind of want to watch the first one, but it's a lot of sequels. First one I've got on my list is The Christmas Story. Christmas, which was not a disappointment.
I love it.
I didn't love it as much as the classic, but it was fun.
Oh, it never will, yeah.
It'll never live up to it, but Christmas Story Christmas was, thank goodness, good, clean, wholesome fun.
Absolutely. My big mistake, now I've already seen a lot of the other tries.
Attempts at a sequel. Story,
you know, well, and they weren't good. Yeah. Some of them were okay as far as being connected, and at least they had the original guys.
Yeah, at least Gene Shepard did write those.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, this one was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. And it was fun, and at least it connected and had everybody was original except for the lady.
Yeah, except for mom.
But she's still great.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Oh, what's her name? Dang it.
She plays on What About Bob and
Airplane.
Airplane and other films. But anyway, the show, everyone else was original. And
yeah,
they did
so nice to see them all.
You know, it did a good job. And it connected to things, even the loss of a loved one and other things. And I won't go into all that except to say that
don't want to spoil anything.
Really brought it. Well, the great thing that I love about it, too, was it's even like your loved ones are still with you when they're not with you in a way.
Especially
and that
I love.
Yeah. Oh, especially Christmas. That's necessary. Yeah.
And it was very similar. Like, I noticed it seemed like some of the story was lifted a little bit out of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where you got Clark Griswold, who's trying to make the perfect Christmas. He wants the great, good old-fashioned Christmas, and that's really what Ralphie's trying to do, because he's trying to save Christmas, because as his mother tells them, I don't want your children to remember this as the year that Grandpa died a week before Christmas.
That was a really great
thing. That brought it to heart. And realizing, and it's funny because you see Ralphie trying so hard, but it's the stuff he doesn't try to do that works. Kind of like Groundhog Day. It's when he's not trying that something natural and real happens. Except for when he's trying to be a better person. But so it was a lot of
so hard sometimes.
Like the because there was a lot of accidents and a lot of oh no, and then that was fun. We had a snowball fight, you know, and then oh no, a lot of oh no things going wrong that you're like but instead of being stressful, there's so much heart behind the things that go wrong.
I watched it three times already. I love. There's just so much. The truth is, a lot of times I did that when I was trying to go to sleep and I couldn't, because it relaxed me.
Yeah.
It's so relaxing to see them again. And they even got the guy to play his brother come back. And that was nice.
Nice.
It was good to see him, you know, because it's almost like a family reunion in a way.
It
people you've grown up with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was great to, we finally get to see, what's the name of the neighbors? Help me. My brain is.
The Bumpuses.
The Bumpuses. We can see one of the kids of the Bumpuses. And of course, the hound, because the son of a gun, we'll call it son of a gun. Son of a gun, Bumpuses. You can see one
son
of the hounds.
Bumpus!
The Bumpuses.
And they adopted Ralphie instead of his old man.
You know, but that's the truth. When you do lose a loved one, as you know, I've lost my father. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I find myself taking up the mantle in a sense. And now so does my brothers.
Yeah.
They take up his mantle. We all, my sister too, my sisters, they take, we have our fathers with us and our mothers, and we try to take up the mantle to keep spreading that joy. I tried to do that for my mom. Others do that for their kids and all. We try to help keep that cheer going and be that part of them is still going, and so I understand it. It makes sense, and they are with us in a way.
And there's definitely a very predictable subplot going on.
That
you kind of know where it's going, and you see it at the beginning. It's like, oh, okay, when this happens, he's going to be able to do this. And one thing that's definitely different, though, I mean, the first one, what makes the original one so much fun is everything's from a child's point of view.
Yes,
and that's what makes it part of the fun. And I thought, well, are they really going to be able to do that this time? Because we're going to still go from Ralphie's point of view, but we got the movie as grown up with those of us that kind of grew up with the movie being around. Now we can look at the things from that grown up point of view.
I thought that was smart,
and it still worked. It's not the same type of humor as from the child's point of view, but still getting to look at everything as an adult and appreciate Christmas as an adult and the time we could spend with our families was great. And even love the fact that did you realize when you looked that was the same Santa and the same two elves working at Higby's? When I looked at him, I was like, oh! And then when they even at the what I love is during the credits they showed pictures of the from the old movie and the new one to show comparisons how they did similar things, and you could tell that was the same actors playing Santa and the two elves.
I had no idea.
Yeah, which I didn't look it up, but when I looked at him, I said, oh my gosh, it's them.
I had no idea because they didn't look the same to me. So that's why
they're older, but you could see it in the eyes and the face. I was like, oh, they even got them back. So it was just a really nice. It was almost like a tribute to the original film in a lot of ways. So
it was
worth
watching.
And
yet it gave us what we wanted. You know, it was great to see
fan service
to see Flick and what's his name? Schwartz or was
Schwartz.
Schwartz.
Yeah.
Schwartz.
And
yeah.
Vengeance.
Vengeance. And like they've been at it this whole time, wanting to hurt each other. It's so much fun.
Yes.
I just loved it. I love seeing that, you know.
All right. But we got to move on to the next movie because I got to keep the show rolling. We're already over an hour. So Disenchanted, I didn't get a chance to watch. I kind of want to watch the first one first before I watch the second one.
Yeah,
but you watched
it. I would if I was you.
Because you were super excited.
Oh, yeah. I loved that first movie so much. And this one was good, too. Now, it's almost like with every movie. I'll always like the first one better. But I would really like to have the soundtrack of this one. Because now, again, I like the first one better. You like the music better. But it was good. And I like that it's not trying to woke or anything. It's just trying to be fun and cheerful. And it has a lot of good lessons, but not anything like Disney so often tries to do. Mm-hmm. At least I didn't catch on to. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. And I'm glad I wasn't, I guess, in that case. But it was a lot of fun. It was joyful, and I enjoyed seeing them a little older. And, of course, you get to see the little girl. She's back, older now. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a fun point of view to see. She basically had to live with this almost, you know, when she was a little girl, it was kind of neat to have a fairy tale princess with her. And you got to see her now kind of like, oh, great, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought they did, at least my point of view. Like I said, I've not been disappointed yet with these things I've been looking forward to. I'm not saying I've enjoyed every single thing about everything we know what we're talking about. But I will say, for the most part, so far, so good, for the most part.
So was it joyful and triumphant?
Joyful
Christmas reference.
For the most part. I got to say, I really enjoyed seeing, it's amazing how, I can't think of his name right now, the actor who played the prince in the first one.
James Marsden?
Yes, James Marsden. Such a good actor. But
he never gets enough credit.
And it seems like he hasn't changed a bit. He looks almost the same, and he comes out just being his same goofy self and just having, I just love that guy, man. He is so much fun.
Yep. All right.
You'll love it.
Third movie, Spirited.
Yes.
Now, I've been seeing, there's people who've really enjoyed it, but it took me a while to kind of dislike it because I was trying to give it a fair chance, and I was really wanting to like it. And there's a lot of people who did, but there's the message of it is what kills it for me. And I hung in there thinking, well, maybe they're going to have a point to this. I will say I enjoyed the musical numbers. The songs were pretty good.
Sure. Yeah.
And I really tried to like it. I didn't really find anything that funny other than Judy Dench's cameo where she's singing a line about herself was funny. And you really enjoyed, there's a Buddy the Elf reference. I don't want to spoil or anything.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't like it a lot. I mean, you know what I'm saying is like I liked it, but not like the other things I was saying where I loved it. No, it was pretty much what I expected though. And they're all talented.
But I've never enjoyed Will Ferrell. I have not enjoyed him in anything. Yeah. The Ryan Reynolds I have enjoyed, but here's my problem. I want to get to what my problem was because we're short on time. The story here ruins the point of A Christmas Carol. With people can change and choose to do good things, it kind of steps on that and basically gives a secular humanist style message of, well, we're all kind of just gray area and it's okay. He doesn't have to be, you know, it's okay to be a jerk as long as you don't kill anybody. And then, whoops, okay, well, that's that one thing I have to change. We'll fix that and make sure that I didn't kill anybody. But, you know, I'm going to continue to be this jerk because I'm good at it. And
but at the end, that started changing.
But it didn't.
Well, at the very end, he started changing, realizing he couldn't.
He did one thing. So, if you can at least just do one good thing, then at least, you know, even if you're a jerk, if you can do one good thing, I guess you're all right. That was what they were singing at the end. The entire song is like, we'll just do one little good thing. But,
that is true, but
that's the problem. And then the guy was given the job that was like, wait a minute, he's not ready for this. He's, you know, And I did not like what they did with The Ghost of Christmas Past. I thought it was supposed to have been funny. I didn't find it funny. But
I didn't like that at all.
This gets me into what the problems that I have with the message here is, I mean, there is a secular humanism message of you're okay just the way you are. And that's a very Joel Osteen. And actually, you know what? They also go this whole thing of like, oh, we're just irredeemable and we're just going to be guilty for the bad things we've done and no one's ever will love us. Let me tell you something. You are loved despite how many bad things you've done, and you can be changed, but you can't do it on your own.
That's right. There is
a true redemption.
There was definitely no morality in some of the stuff
and
they
that's
did.
The problem, because
like
there is a morality to the Christmas Carol story.
And I don't want to give everything away.
And you can be redeemed. You can be forgiven through the power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it right now.
Amen.
Because the secular humanism type of thing will for it. Well, we're just irredeemable, but that's okay. We'll try to do at least a little bit of good thing, and that's enough.
One thing I didn't like, did not like about the film was, of course, watching a show from the viewpoint of, using the as Christian phrase here, the world. One thing I don't like about that is I don't expect morality, what they may think is morality, but yeah. You know, they're going to say things that are vulgar, and I expect it. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. I'm just saying. But that being said, I did enjoy a part, not want to give things away, but I enjoyed who Christmas Present was supposed to be. I thought that was an interesting point of view.
Yeah, that was an interesting. Yeah, that's the only storyline that I liked is his storyline, because he did feel like he wasn't lovable.
I didn't expect it.
He gets proven that he can be loved, and you need to let go of the guilt, and you can be forgiven. I was like, you know what? Because I was worried for a while which direction they were going, because the Ghost of Christmas Present gets corrupted a lot by Ryan Reynolds' character. And that's where they lost my wife entirely. She hated it. But I stuck in with it. It's like, well, let me see where they're going with this. And when we got into some story like that, he didn't feel like he was lovable, and there was a nice story. It was like, no, I am lovable. But that's also where I want to say, yes, you are lovable and you are loved despite any rotten things you have. There is redemption. There is forgiveness.
Will Ferrell in that role, in that part, I mean, and in several other roles, actually did do a good job.
Yeah, he did do a good job. I've never found him funny.
Another thing about him, that he actually is a really good actor. He's a funny guy. But what I like about him is that he can actually play a role very seriously. But he plays it serious. Like, I was watching Elf a little bit last night, and I think it's funny how he can play a part so serious. And that's what makes it funny. I'm not a big fan of him, because he can be vulgar and other things I don't care for, but he could play something so serious that's what makes it funny, because it's not serious. It's not funny at all. But I guess in order to make it funny, they have to play it. I'm talking about him, has to play it like it's the most serious thing ever.
Yeah. But the best role is Leslie Nielsen. He was the best at saying the most ridiculous thing, but doing it in such a serious tone.
Yes.
But he was hilarious when he did it.
But Don't Call Me Shirley.
Right. Oh, yes. But yeah, I'm giving that one a thumbs down, despite what you've read on Facebook. Yeah. But you know what? Go watch it for yourself. But I had a problem with the message of that movie.
I'll give it diagonal down, if that's his thing.
As it's not sinking.
Sideways.
It's sinking.
There you go. Yeah. It's not Titanic necessarily, but
yeah. And I was like, because I was thinking, so well, that was okay. But then I was watching some video on YouTube talking about some similar topics of with a good and evil, and I was like, you know what? If I take that movie into the perspective of somebody who was talking about something entirely different, and it made me really rethink some of the messaging of that movie. And I was like, yeah, that message really is a bad one.
I also don't know
I do want to move on.
I don't know the actor's name who played Marley.
He
also
was good.
Was the one in charge of the thing, but
which was
really
weird,
in my opinion. He was in charge of all that. I liked him. I've seen him on other things, but I don't know what. Yeah. He was really fantastic.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Great singing and everything. Mm-hmm. The songs were great. Whoever
songs
wrote
were good. The dancing was fun, but
I can't give it a thumbs down completely, because it was catchy in certain areas and it was funny. So,
but
you know,
it's
area.
Messages that I don't. If I had children, it's not the message I would want my kids to have.
No, not at all. That's
I would want them to know. No, there is redemption. There is forgiveness.
Oh, absolutely.
And yes, you know, it's good to try to do one good thing, but don't use that as an excuse to be a jerk.
No,
so,
you can't.
Well, I can be a jerk as long as I try to find one little good thing. As long as I don't kill anybody.
No,
that is a terrible excuse that humanists use.
Well,
and
good. As you and I know,
but
I need
to move on. I really do.
You and I know. You've heard me say many times, by our actions we are known.
Yes. And I'm going to remember you more as a jerk rather than the person that, I try to do something good every day.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because we have two people that I want to throw some tribute to. And we'll start here with, I need to move the image of you of Skype around so I can see. Robert Emmett McGrath was an American actor, musician, and children's author, best known for playing original human character Bob Johnson on the long-running educational television series Sesame Street. And I will always remember him for singing songs on Sesame Street, because I have on a DVD somewhere, and I think you can even watch this somewhere. I think HBO Max has it, that Christmas special. It's not quite Christmas till Bob McGrath sings his "If Isn't It in the True Blue Miracle, Then I Don't Know What One Is." You know,
yes,
that's part of Christmas. So I appreciate him. And let me, you know, a little bit of his early life. He was born on June 13th, 1932, 90 years old this year.
Yes.
He was named for Irish patriot Robert Emmett. As a child, he would sing for his family while his mother would play the piano. His mother enrolled him in the Roxy Theater's amateur program, where he came in second place, and he graduated from Marquette High School. Then he graduated from the University of Michigan in 1954, where he was in School of Music. And while attending Michigan, he was a member of the University of Michigan Men's Glee Club and of the fraternity Phi Gamma Delta. During fraternity events, he washed dishes while fraternity brother David Connell waited tables. A connection which David Connell would use when casting began for Sesame Street. So after graduating, he was inducted into the U.S. Army, where he spent 2 years in Germany booking and performing in the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra. McGrath obtained a Master of Music degree in voice from Manhattan School of Music in 1959. He actually worked with Mitch Miller and was a featured tenor on an NBC television sing-along with Mitch, which I'm sure you've heard of.
I not watched it, but...
And when is it? There we go. From 1969 to 2016, McGrath was a regular cast member on Sesame Street, playing the character Bob Johnson, along with the series matriarch Susan Robinson, played by Loretta Long. McGrath was one of two longest-lasting human characters on the series since the show's debut. And of course, he's one of the memorable ones. You and I were talking, like, we loved Gordon, and of course, Mr. Hooper. Gordon. And I always thought Maria was cute. She's still an older,
there's
cute.
There's others too, but yeah, those are the ones. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And
I love them all.
I appreciate his work on Sesame Street because they taught me so much when I was little.
The funny thing is about characters like people like that, I mean, as a kid, to me, they always felt like family.
Yes, they did.
I'm not trying to sound corny, but that's one of the reasons why to this day, I'm looking at it right now. I have every episode of Andy Griffith. Aunt B, as I say, is an expression, by the way.
Yeah.
Aunt B and Andy and Barney and all of them, I'm getting all teary-eyed here. They feel like family to me.
Mm.
And I love Beverly Hillbillies, and all those characters are connected at Petticoat Junction, all that. They're all part of the same universe, if you will. I love them because they feel like family. Bob McGrath here. And others, they feel like family when you watch them every day as a little child. We're talking 3 and 4, and until you start going to school, kindergarten, all, and even then you come home. Those people almost feel like family. You grow up with them like you would your family. You go to see your grandma, and then you come home and you watch Bob McGrath and them. Yep. They feel like family.
Yeah,
you know? They helped you to learn. They taught you to speak and ABCs. Yep.
Taught me how to count. Taught me how to read. I mean, I feel like when I got into kindergarten, I knew more than I thought I did because I learned it all watching Sesame Street every day.
Yeah, I did.
Although I couldn't do the Electric Company right after, because they'd scream at me at the beginning of Electric Company and scare me to death. Watching Sesame Street, and then, hey, you guys! Oh, I didn't like being yelled at.
I love Morgan Freeman, even as a little boy.
When I was older, I was able to watch and I enjoyed the Electric Company, but when I was little and they'd come screaming on there, I was like, no! So,
I remember, I was used to it.
There was times I was like, because when I'd be over at Grandma's house and we'd be out going for a walk or whatever, or doing her Avon selling, I was like, Grandma, I have to be home by noon because I got to watch Sesame Street. I would be stressed out that if I was going to miss Sesame Street.
Yeah, you couldn't tape stuff back then, man.
Yeah. You had to watch it. And it was on every day, even if it was a repeat. I never noticed a repeat.
Oh, we just love the characters.
So one last thing to say, other than we loved him, is McGrath and his wife Anne married in 1958. They had 5 children, 5 granddaughters, 3 grandsons.
They resided
in Teaneck, New Jersey from 58 until 2017 when they moved to a ranch in Norwood, New Jersey. McGrath died from complications of a stroke at his home in New Jersey December the 4th at the age of 90. You know, but that's living to a good, ripe old age.
Amen.
He did.
That's right.
And he's left quite the legacy and an impact on generation after generation of us. So thank you, Bob McGrath.
Yes, that's right.
And now a little bit more of a sadder death, but I wasn't a big Power Ranger guy at all. But I do want to honor the memory of Jason David Frank from September 4th, 1973 to November 19th. American actor and martial artist known for his role as Tommy Oliver in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and other Power Rangers series. And now I don't know like the whole thing. There was some mental things, on, you know, and yes, there was some mental health issues, but it has been revealed very recently by his wife that he was getting back together even with his wife, but he had been battling depression. And that's the main thing I want to kind of point out, like, hey, this is a serious, if you're dealing with some depression, please get some help.
Yes.
We don't want to lose you tragically like this.
And if there's people out there, and I'm saying this as someone who understands, if there's people out there who have never had depression, I'm very glad for that. But if you know someone who does, try to have an understanding heart.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, and I'm talking about, I've heard it before, a lot of people will say, well, they know better. No, they don't. If you're going through depression, it's something that is not just a mental thing. It's a physical thing, something they can't help. And I've gone through it. I've had to take medication and still do it, to be truthful, because of the brain issues and surgeries and all I've gone through. I have to take that stuff. It's something that I physically can't help. And I'm so glad. Now, the sad thing is the first one I was on made me gain weight. I don't take that now. But this stuff that you have to be saved by this. And the Lord has strengthened me and helped me to realize that I'm here. God has me here for a reason. He loves me and he loves you too. And incidentally, I know where Jason David Frank is.
Yeah.
I'm going to read this right here
because that's where you're headed.
Said
Jason David Frank was Christian and said he began attending church after the death of his brother. He married his first wife, Shauna, in 1994, and the couple had two sons and a daughter. They divorced in 2001. In 2003, he married his second wife, Tammy, and the couple had one daughter. In 2022, Tammy filed for divorce. At the time of his death, they had begun to reconcile. But yes, that's the important thing. He was a Christian and began going to church after the death of his brother. And that makes all the difference. But this also, yes, even though you are a Christian and we even preached about joy this week,
yes,
depression
right.
can still happen to a Christian and you can't control. It is a chemical thing in your brain that you know, and even you know, James Kennison, who's been on this show before of That Story Show, struggles with depression and it gets, and my wife even deals with depression.
It
Christians can suffer from depression. I don't let anybody tell you different. It can happen.
People will tell you you're weak.
Yeah, and you're not weak. You just can't help it. It's like having any sort of a disease.
Turn to Jesus.
There's illnesses, and we'll pray for you, and you can pray.
Amen.
Pray God would take it away from you, and maybe he will, but odds are you might have to deal with it your entire life. But please, please don't kill yourself.
That's right.
You are valued while you are on earth. There is a reason for you to be here. Don't let Satan get in there, those inner voices. And tell you otherwise,
right.
That you are not valuable and that people would be better off without you. People will hurt when you are gone. People will miss you. And I sometimes get depressed most. I don't think I suffer from full depression, but I have it in my head like that I just want to give up. It's like, you know what? I'm tired of this. Can I just go to heaven? Can I just die? Because I know I've got eternal reward with God. But if I'm still here, that means there's reason for me to be here.
It's something that I have to remind myself of. There's times, hey, I've thought it before, and look, I may have said it before. I, at one point, now keep in mind, I had just come out of brain surgery and all of this, and then I had someone in my life who didn't want me anymore, all these horrible things being said. So I thought, well, if no one else wants me, why do I want to be here? But praise the Lord helped me and used others to help me, and I seeked help right away. Got things right in my life and got all my medication corrected and everything else. And I promised God then I will never, ever, ever, ever do that ever. And I got things right and I'm fine and I'm here. And I had to remember something. I'll never go against God's will, not intentionally, never go against God's will. And if God has me here, that means it's his will for me to be here. So I will never try to step in front of God's will ever. Mm-hmm. Him first. Then others in you. That means Jesus others you. That brings joy. Jesus
exactly.
others you.
There you go. Amen. And that's why your life is important, because the impact you're having on other people, sometimes you never know the impact you have on other people.
Amen.
But when you get to heaven, I look forward to sitting on God's lap and have him show
Hallelujah.
Me my life through his eyes.
And you'll say, now
so that's why that had to be that way. And I'm sure Jason David Frank is seeing that. And I'm sure for a moment he's like, I'm sorry, I could have done more if I hadn't have done that. But I mean, we understand.
God
but
he still
gets his eternal reward. He's still with Jesus right now.
I can't wait. I saw
him. Nice to meet
when
him.
We went to a Comic Con once, there he was, and I saw him sitting right. And I waved over at him. And I told him I'm a big fan. I didn't go get in line or anything. I didn't have the money for it, to be truthful. But I told him it's a big fan. I was. I'm not saying I was a huge Power Rangers fan. However, for 1 year, the first year, technically, I guess it was the second year, but I was watching it right after he went from being Green Ranger to White Ranger, and when the movie came out, so I had watched it at that point in time, and I was a big fan of his, and also, I can't remember, Amy Jo Johnson or whatever
Joe
it was.
Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching her on a Hallmark movie last night, but anyway, you know, I'm a big fan of those two. That was a great thing, you know, it was fun. Those are fun days, 94, 95, you know, fun days.
Yeah. But he did a lot of things in his life. He even started a Christian group of like mixed martial arts.
Yes, he did.
But I was kind of hoping he was going to be able to bring that to town someday. I wanted to go and check it out. Because, you know, even though I'm not a Power Ranger fan, I did sit in because I figured I owed it to the fans of the show. And I sat in to hear the guy who was the original Red Ranger. And that guy's pretty awesome. Yeah. He's a pretty awesome guy. I enjoyed going to his panel. I wanted to go to a panel with Jason David Frank to hear his story as well.
In fact, Jason David Frank
was the opportunity.
Jason David Frank was the Power Ranger the most. He was on the most shows.
He kept coming back.
Wasn't he on movies too, doing different martial art movies and stuff? I could be wrong.
He did some stuff with Bat in the Sun, which is a fantastic YouTube channel and fan stuff. They would do a superpowered beatdown where they had stuff like what if the White Ranger fought certain, you know, that kind
Maybe
of thing.
That's what I'm
thinking of. He did a lot of stuff, but there is the film Legend of the White Dragon launched on Kickstarter in 2020. Initially, it was going to be a miniseries or a fan film. With the popularity and excitement, it grew into a full feature film. The film includes past Power Ranger performers such as Frank, Jason Font, and Sierra Hanna. Other cast members included Mark Dacascos, Michael Madsen, Andrew Bryan Batchelor, and Jenna Frank. The movie wrapped in 2021, is currently in post-production, and set to release in 2023. In view of Frank's death, there has been talk of dedicating the film to his memory.
That would be great.
But looky there, in the Superpower Beatdown with Bat in the Sun, it says on November 7th, 2013, Frank appeared on Superpower Beatdown as the White Ranger, taking on Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. And I do remember watching that. Because I wasn't a Power Ranger guy and I loved Scorpion in Mortal Kombat, I was rooting for Scorpion. But I think White Ranger did win, if I remember. But I think usually they do like two alternates of who would win based on people voting. But there was some film career. Let's see. Legend of the White Dragon, Making Fun, The Story of Funko. He popped up as himself. Power Rangers, Legacy Wars, Street Fighter Showdown. Power Rangers, he was an Angel Grove citizen in the 2017 Power Rangers, I guess. Crammed 2, Ho-Ching, The Blue Sun, Fall Guy, The John Stewart Story. The Junior Defenders, Paris, Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Actually has some... video game credits here for Power Ranger video games that he, did some voice. Did some video capture for something called Piper. Very interesting. And actually has at least a few actual MMA fights that he has. They got some of his records. He's got pretty good win record he had doing some things.
He had done stuff like that.
Yeah. So he had quite the life. It's sad that he's left us, but yes. He's no longer feeling that depression.
Amen. I'll always love him, though. Mm-hmm. I will, because he always stood out to me. He's just a real sweet guy, yeah. Kind guy, you know, a loving guy. And I always thought it was great.
Yep. All right, but we better wrap this up because we've got an hour and a half, and that's a half hour longer than I try to go. I've been trying to move us forward. We just had so much to cover, though. And I want to remind everybody, check your feed and make sure you got a good Red Circle feed because we are switching over. And prepare for some ads next month, unless you, of course, become a Patreon supporter, which I totally invite you if you go to patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. Also, NeverlandPodcast.com. I haven't had my membership for a while. I had to shut down my membership, but my podcast reviews, I still have a link there. I think the affiliate link is still good. But I do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for their help in creating the introduction that you have at the front of the show. NeverlandPodcast.com, by the way, I will have the RSS feed available there if you need it. Don't forget, you can send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast and Facebook at Neverland Podcast. We have both a group and a fan page. And you know what? On our website, you can even join the Neverlanders. Get yourself a good Lost Boy or Pixie name. Why do we have Pixies? Because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. Pick you a nickname. You know, we haven't had any new Neverlanders in a long time. And once again, because I'm going to read it off my list, donate through patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. Help cover the cost of this show. And you know what, Phil?
What's that?
Get lost. In an adventure!
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. call, quickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.